All right, hour number two, out of bounds. William Quagamush, Ben Milstead. It's been fun. We've done an hour. It's flown by. It's been fun to talk sports, man. I feel like doing a lot of touristy cultural stuff has got me really in the mood to just hammer it. Like, I've been sitting on a lot of sports takes this weekend, and it's been really fun. I'm glad. 654 Roar, if you want to get in. Adams Curving text line and Pratt Injury Lawyers phone lines. Really good stuff that hour.
It almost feels like you're here. It, you know, it's kind of normal. Quark, we'll get back to more important things in a moment. We do have a scandal in the women's Tour de France, and I know this is high on your list of things to be concerned about.
You know, let's hear it.
The men's ended, last weekend. But so now the women are racing, and we have one team accusing another team of cheating, Kwok. Mainly, so there's a couple of time trial stages, and that is exactly what the name suggests. You're racing against the clock, basically one person at a time. You're not in a pack, and so it is all about aerodynamics. You know, there's no drafting, anything like that. It's all about wind flow and all that. But, yeah, so according to a report in the Netherlands, several women's world teams believe their rivals are breaking the rules by padding their bras. They are faking, this, according to the story, they are faking larger busts to gain an advantage in the way the wind goes around your body in time trials.
No,
it
stop.
Is chest fairing is what it is called. So if you now some would argue if you're blessed in that way, you already have an advantage. But you know, in this, they're cheating to gain an advantage. There's not been any report as to how they're going to test and check this, but
I'm sure there are some volunteers, Ben. I'm sure there are some folks who are like, hey, this is serious. I'll decide, okay? I'll get to the bottom of this.
But this is actually, admittedly, you know, while I follow cycling, I don't follow the women's Tour de France very often, but the yeah, apparently this has been a thing in the past, and some say it can shave like 10 seconds off of your time. So they're like, wait a minute, she's bigger than she used to be. But yeah, so an official complaint has been filed. First time a complaint for that's ever been filed in anything, but it is, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of us are like, let's see. No. I mean, we think everybody should do that. Follow-up question on this. Who, if you're going to make an accusation like this, okay, you got to have some kind of proof, all right?
And I just said, I'm booking my flight now.
I'm just saying. How does one get trained to be a judge on these things? I'll be the arbitrator. How do you unmask this? Like, I'm thinking about Scooby-Doo. They're like, all right, let's get to the bottom of this. Mr. Smith, you know, whatever. I would have gotten it. Somebody's got to be responsible for unmasking, Ben. We got to have a tape measure. We got to have something. We got to have some way of doing this, right? I mean, it's going to have to happen.
I guess. I don't know. We had, and I intentionally did not look into what I'm about to say because I was scared of what I might find, but there was apparently a similar scandal with men in ski jumping in the Olympics in the Endowment of a Man. And for the life of me, my mind just does not comprehend. I did not click on that link. I did not care.
Hey, that's what incognito tabs are for, Ben.
I was scared of what I might find out. But, yeah. So so there
oh
we go.
Man, let's see your background here, Mr. Milstead. You're gonna have to tell me about that Google search from 26. What was that
exactly
about? That's honestly, it's really great stuff. I'm sure you'll keep us abreast of the details.
That's terrible.
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah, Europe can't stop the humor. All right, Chad the mailman.
We have
says,
so many volunteers on
I
the.
I think
text
I just
line.
Found
Y'all
like a, yeah. I mean, it's just great. It's great. It's awesome. A couple of. And then you have the one guy that just says, "Squeeze test." Out of. Simplest way. All right. Texter asked about Casey Mize for the Braves. He was on my list. Casey Mize, when I made my list the other day, Casey Mize was number one. There were some other names on there. Luis Castillo, who got traded. Emerson Hancock of the Mariners was on there. Michael Wacha. Honestly, I would have rather had Wacha than Tyler Mahle. I will try to give you, like, the positive view. Tyler Mahle's going to get hurt the next time he pitches, okay? The guy is so fragile. Every tendon and ligament in his body is held up by paper clips, okay? The guy's going to get hurt next time. This is going to be – again, they didn't give up anything, but if you're bringing him in thinking he's going to make 10 starts, he's just not. He's not going to do that. You got to get somebody else. Texter says this, though, and I want to make this point for the Braves. I have a bigger picture baseball point here and really a bigger picture sports point, because it is – I think it's a broader sports conversation, what's going on with Skubal and the Dodgers. That goes way beyond the very basic and way, way too simple arguments that are being thrown out on both sides of this. Texter says, let me go back and find it. Oh, I actually think the Texter gave a really funny line here, and I can't find it anymore. Texter said, this rotation is not winning in October. The Braves rotation is not winning in October. Okay, totally agree. I'm going to read you a list. This is a list of players that Jim Bowden, who is an analyst on CBS Sports HQ and writes for The Athletic, he's a former general manager, Reds, Nationals, been in baseball front office for 30 years. This is just one man, but I'm reading this and as I read it, I want you to think about which of these pitchers, if the Braves, if price is no object, like absorbing salary and prospect cost if they could pay it, which of these pitchers that Jim Bowden mentioned here are going to get you where you need to go, okay? And then we'll go to Roger and Anderson's phone call. But this just sort of illustrates, I think, the broader point here. So Jim Bowden, he's done a really good job. He's been updating this list a little bit. I want to make sure that I have the most updated list from Jim. Yes. Top starting pitcher still available, okay? How many of these guys, if you could get them, would be impact enough that you would go, you can beat the Dodgers with this? Because that's what you have to do in October. That's what you're thinking. You're not trying to beat a wild card team. You're not trying to beat the Phillies or the Padres or, you know, the Cardinals. Like, you're not trying to Cubs. You're not trying to do that. You're trying to beat the Dodgers. Mize, DeGrom, Green, Robbie Ray, Reed Detmers, Clay Holmes, I don't think has been traded yet. There was a rumor out there. Dustin May, Shane, Justin Bieber, Brady Singer. I would say, like, three of those guys. Hunter Green is not really available. I don't think Hunter Green's moving. Jacob deGrom is possibly available. Just the Rangers sort of threw a tantrum, and they've lost five straight games, and they're like, we stink, we're going to sell everyone. I don't think they're actually going to sell everyone, but people are asking. So it's really like Casey Mize. And by the way, with Skubal gone, guess what? The Tigers are 2.5 games out of the wild card, and Casey Mize is under team control. And so Casey Mize doesn't have to move. So those top three, I'm not sure at this point, because of where the Tigers sit, that's a little bit different than what I was looking at this weekend, like before the weekend. I'm not sure that Mize, DeGrom, or Green would move. Those would be the names, okay? Yeah. If you could get those three guys.
Mize is probably the safe pick, but if, okay, keep in mind, we're talking about beating the Dodgers in one game. And I know Jacob DeGrom has had health issues, and it's not the same Jacob DeGrom of old. But you're telling me I need a guy who can beat the Dodgers in one game? Give me that guy every day. Now, you're going to pay through the nose to get him for that one game, I would think, right?
Yes.
But you telling me he's healthy in postseason and I can have Jacob deGrom for one game to beat the Dodgers, sign me up.
I see. I'd rather have DeGrom than Malley. Now, if you get DeGrom and Malley, then you better extend your athletic trainer because he may quit at the end of the year. But this is my point, okay? You bring in that guy, okay? That might work. Where the Braves will realistically end up in this pitching market is with a pitcher that is not good enough to beat the Dodgers on paper. The realistic answer here is that you, National League team, Brewers, Braves, Cubs, Cardinals, Padres, Phillies, whoever, you are not beating the Dodgers on paper in a 3-game, 5-game, 7-game, 9-game, 15-game series. You can't. So here's the question. Do we want to come try to approximate? Do we want to just go all in? Labor stoppages coming? The Brave system is not that deep. Do we just want to punt the system, just throw it all out there and try to start over? Or do you want to go around the edges and just try to get hot and try to win a game? Because realistically, even if you bring in DeGrom, the Dodgers have Yamamoto and Skubal, who Yamamoto might have won the NL Cy Young. I mean, he was up there with Mizorowski as one of the best guys. And Skubal is going to win potentially win the AL Cy Young. Like, they are legitimately, potentially the two best pitchers. I wouldn't necessarily say that. But they are potentially, you could argue, the two best pitchers in baseball. And oh, by the way, they're about to get Tyler Glasnow back. So good luck beating him in a 5-game series like that. I mean, the Braves are not going to have any they will not get there with their rotation this year. Strider's probably not going to pitch again this year, and even if he does, it's going to be minimal stuff. It's just not going to happen. And so that's when the Dodgers get Skubal, that not only do you not get Skubal, but that evil empire gets Skubal, and then your entire calculus changes,
exactly,
in my opinion.
Exactly.
Let's go to Roger and Anderson, get his thoughts on this. 654 Roar is the number. You want to join on Pratt Andrew Lawyer's phone lines. Hey, Roger.
Hey, Quag. I agree with you. If Green is available, I would want him behind him, directly behind him, DeGrom. Although he has a big salary, I don't know how that would work with Texas and Atlanta. But going back to what you said a few minutes ago, I'll take Walk over Malley in a heartbeat. Walk has got experience. He's a veteran. He has a 5-pitch mix. I would much rather have Walker for this stretch. But people are talking like the Dodgers are some juggernaut. Okay, they got pitching. They don't have Shohei in the rotation anymore, but they still got pitching. You know, like you said, they're getting Glasnow back. And they have the other guys in there. But offensively, I've just watched them over the weekend. I know it's a small sample, but even prior to that, their lineup is not juggernaut. You're talking about guys, old guys like Muncy, Betts, Kiki Hernandez, Will Smith's hurt. You pitch around Freddie Freeman in the playoffs, in the postseason. Don't let him beat you. Make everybody else in that lineup hit with men on base. Make somebody else beat you. I'm telling you, Skubal, great. You put a great addition to your starting staff. There's no question about that. But offensively, if you can grind out against Skubal and Yamamoto through 6 innings, I'm taking my chances with my bullpen and getting a hit down the stretch to win a game. I do not fear the Dodgers' offense.
See, and I agree with you on that. I mean, I do think that still you've got guys with postseason track records in that Dodgers lineup. Like, you do have underperforming guys and maybe over-the-hill guys. But you do have guys that have track records. On paper, they should have trounced the Blue Jays, and really they got kind of fortunate to beat the Blue Jays last year. That's actually one of the better arguments against the Dodgers are, you know, bad for the game or whatever, is like they were very, very close to losing that series to the Blue Jays that they really should have never lost on paper. But to me, the Dodgers, this is the thing with the Dodgers, they're not done. Everybody else is sitting around trying to figure out what they're going to do. The Dodgers haven't said, here's Skubal, we're done. I mean, they could go get catcher help for Dalton Rushing, or they could go get another bat in the outfield. Like, they've got plenty of prospect capital that they, and I'm going to talk about this later, but that they never feel. They never feel the cost of the prospects that walk out the door because of how they're allowed to operate. And so they will create it just like they did with Kyle Tucker, just like they did with Otani, just like they do with everybody. They will create a market that nobody else can participate in. to get whatever they feel like they need at this trade deadline. And so they will be better than they are right now in 4 hours. It's just a matter of, do you want to try to figure out what that looks like and see if you can counter it? That's the question for the Braves and all these other contenders.
Well, a name you said I forgot about, Kyle Tucker. He is a huge key to their postseason. If he plays like he did with Houston, okay, that's a big problem. But still, the rest of the guys in that lineup, they don't scare me. They're getting Will Smith back soon. So if they want to hold off on the catcher, they still got rushing back there. But I'm just saying again, I'll repeat, I just don't see their lineup as being some, you know, circular firing squad that you got to worry about. There are some guys that you have to worry about. But, again, I wouldn't let Freddie Freeman come up with any men on base. If I'm pitching around him, I'm making Mookie Betts, Kiki Hernandez, and Max Muncy free swingers. Take my chance with them. I'm not taking a chance with Freddie in the postseason.
No doubt. Roger, good stuff, man. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. I agree, Roger. I got more to say on this because it is. I think what the Dodgers are doing is bad for the sport, but not for the reason that people potentially are saying or are not quite getting there. So I want to talk about that when we come back for more right after this.
With the Roar app, you're carrying 13 hours of live local sports talk right in your pocket. From the start of the Mickey Filer Show to the end of Road Rage, we're streaming live no matter where you are in the world. Download the Roar app today.
Let me tell you about our friend Nick Lavery. If you've gotten in trouble with the law, if you've had a DUI or an MIP, a drunken disorderly, these types of charges, when you're in college, they can impact the rest of your life, but they don't have to. A lot of times when they do, it's because you don't have the right representation. And when you're a young person, when you're a parent of a young person, it can be challenging to try to figure out where to turn. Who is it that I'm going to entrust with my child's future? That's where Nick Lavery comes in. He's really passionate about making sure that mistake that you made as a young person, that bad choice that you made, doesn't impact the rest of your life. And Nick's going to give you, look, no matter what, he's going to give you the representation that you deserve. Again, he's passionate about it. Any type of wrongful death, any type of vehicle accident, Nick can do that for you as well. A free consultation can be yours. His office is right behind Mellow Mushroom. Highly encourage you to check out Nick and his team. NickLaveryLaw.com.
Forget the national noise. We are real talk for real fans. 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar.
Tiger fans, if you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson. We at The Roar have been saying this for years because we believe it. At Elkmont, providing an outstanding shopping experience is Amy and Lee's passion. Nowhere else will you find all the brands you love under one roof. On Running, Birkenstock, Patagonia, Z Supply, Poncho Shirts, Costa, Maui Gyms, Rainbow Sandals, Turtle Box Speakers, Filson, Extra Tough Rain Boots, and the list continues to grow recently by adding L.L. Bean to the Elkmont offering. L.L. Bean is an industry legend known for reasonably priced, quality performance clothing. At Elkmont, it's not just a tagline. There really is something for everyone. Elkmont wants to thank all the Roar listeners for your support through the last 30 years and hope you'll continue to visit Elkmont at the intersection of Highway 123 and 93 in Clemson or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com. And go Tigers!
Be part of the premier event when Little League International presents the Senior League Baseball World Series, August 1st through the 8th in Easley at the J.B. Owens Ballpark. The world's best 13 to 16-year-olds from the U.S., Europe, Asia, Canada, Latin America, and Australia come to Easley with the championship game, August 8th. Join thousands and support the Senior League Baseball World Series, August 1st through the 8th, J.B. Owens Ballpark in Easley. Social media under Senior League Baseball.
Of the boogeyman in this, and I want to hear your questions. I want to hear your thoughts on it. Let me just say, I think this conversation is really frustrating. It's one of those things where I feel like everybody is saying things loudly that don't actually pertain to the discussion that needs to be had, okay? You have, on the one hand, you have people who are already mad that the Dodgers are spending money the way that they're spending, that they have a leg up on everybody else, that they're mad about the deferred money where they've got over $1 billion in deferred contracts and all that stuff. That's number one. So you have people who that's your default position. And so you go, well, of course they get the two-time reigning AL Cy Young Award winner. They can pay for everything. Well, Terry Skubal, he made a, $33 million in arbitration? But it's only 2 months of his services. So you're talking about a negligible amount of that. You're talking about, I think it's less than $10 million, okay, which the Braves could have absorbed, the Brewers, the Ray. Almost anybody that really wanted Terry Skubal is going to find a way to pay him less than $10 million for 2 months, okay? To me, the cost is not the issue. And if you make it about money, you're going to miss the point because people are going to automatically say, well, he's not that expensive, you know, for the next 2 months. And then if he wins in October and you're playing into November, then obviously he's going to be well worth that investment, okay? Then on the other hand, you have – and this is terrible. I mean, this is like kindergarten stuff. This is patty cake debate skills, okay, from some of the national writers who are trying to convince you that actually the Dodgers aren't the problem. And they're going to make all those arguments about, like, well, Skubal is not that big of a deal, and anybody could have gone and paid for the Skubal contract, and anybody could have given the prospects that the Dodgers gave. There are three things here that the Dodgers get that nobody else gets, okay? Number one, the Dodgers do get the benefit of being the free agent destination. When you sign Kyle Tucker to, like, what was it, 2 years, $125 million contract, and the guy has sucked. I mean, he's not lived up to it at all. The guy's got William Quackenbush numbers, making $60-plus million this year. Total bust, complete flop. But when you do that, you become a destination for every free agent to the point that Terry Skubal torpedoed his trade value with his old team. Tigers fans are livid. They're sharing this thing where, like, he's talking about he wants to win a World Series with the Tigers. Meanwhile, Scott Boras is out there leaking that he's going to sign with the Dodgers. Ben, if I'm the Brewers and I know that I got a chance and the Dodgers are going to have him for a bunch of years, that impacts what I'm going to pay for him for 2 months. Because ultimately you would think that you're going to try to drum up your value by saying, hey, you know, we're going to go on the open market here. But because the Dodgers are swimming in a different pool than everybody else, it doesn't even matter. You know the Dodgers are going to outspend. You know the Dodgers are going to give you the best price point. You know that financially that's the best decision. So rather than put your client to market, Scott Boras is saying, well, he's just going to go to the Dodgers because they're going to pay him more. They're going to create a market that nobody can play in. So that's number one. That's one of the reasons why Skubal ended up with the Dodgers, because the value in every other organization goes down if there's a 0.0% chance that Skubal plays for you in 2027. That's number one. Number two, prospects. Ben, I read a piece, I think it was Ken Rosenthal, who was talking about Zaire White, I think is the guy's name. Like, Zaire White is Jackson Churio or Ronald Acuna as a prospect. The guy's ranked 55th in baseball. They're like, oh, yeah, he's a great prospect. Bro, he's ranked 55th. Oh, he'd be the Brewers' second-best prospect. Well, what'd he freaking do? If he was that kind of prospect, then rank him 12th. Don't rank him 55th and try to sell me that freaking Barry Bonds just walked into the Tigers' clubhouse. Give me a freaking break, okay? That's a joke. Everybody trying to tell you, oh, the Dodgers, they got so many great prospects and all this stuff. He's 55th in baseball, okay? That's a really good prospect, but that's not Max Clark, who the Tigers have they just called up. That's not Roman Anthony from the Red Sox. That's not Michael Harris when he got called up by the Braves. It's not Strider. It's not one of those. No, save it. So there's this inflation that's going on by people who are trying so hard to make you believe that the Dodgers aren't the problem, that they are inflating the value of these prospects to absurd. Like the second-best prospect in the deal is 28. He's a 28-year-old prospect. Ben, he's the equivalent of like a seventh-year college guy that we're like, go do something else. Stop being a prospect at 28. If you're 28 and still a prospect, I don't care how many injuries you've had, you are not a top prospect anymore. You're like 6 years older than the guys you're pitching to. Relax, okay? So that's number two. That's an annoying part of this conversation. But here's the big one, okay? And then, Ben, I'd love for you to respond on this. The big one to me is the development that the Dodgers get to do with your mid-level prospect. See, the thing with the TV deal, and if you're not aware, I'm going to try to say this as simply as possible, but the Dodgers have a provision from back when Frank McCourt, the old owner of the Dodgers, was in bankruptcy court, where Major League Baseball said that because of his bankruptcy situation, because the Dodgers were in such financial straits, this is, I believe, 2019 is when this was decided, that they don't have to share their media revenue with the league. They're the only team that has this deal. Now, you might be wondering, how does their media deal compare with everybody else? Well, the exact figures aren't known, so I'm going to use the most conservative estimate of the Dodgers' media revenue annually of $200 million. The next highest revenue on the media side annually of any other team, I believe, is the Yankees at about $140 million. So the Yankees have to, they bring in $140 million with their media contract, and that is subject to revenue sharing. The Dodgers bring in conservatively 200. I've seen estimates where it's well over $300 million, but let's say 200. They bring in $200 million, don't have to share it. It's not subject to the media right. That contract, that provision, goes through 2039. So we're talking about 13 years from now. The Dodgers are still going to be making tens of millions of dollars more than literally anybody else, and they don't have to share it. That comes at a time when all of the, like the Braves, the Reds, my team, and probably half the league, is dealing with bankruptcy from Diamond Sports, where they had to take lesser revenues because Major League Baseball took on operations. I think Major League Baseball is doing a good job with the broadcast, but these teams are losing media revenue at the same time. So the Dodgers get to keep all their media revenue. No other big market team, even the Yankees and the Mets, get to keep all their media revenue. And some of the mid and low market teams are taking less money. So the Dodgers have hundreds of millions of dollars more to play with than anybody else. And so not only does that go into player salaries, but it goes into scouting, it goes into development, it goes into front office. So they can afford to give away all their top prospects because they can spend more to develop the next group of prospects than anybody else. They also are really good at their jobs, so I do want to say that. Part of this is the Dodgers just being good at evaluation and looking at guys, whatever, creating value. I don't want to begrudge them of that, but some of these guys like Rosenthal, these national writers, are acting like the Dodgers are miracle workers and not talking about how they have tens of millions more dollars that they can devote to development than anybody else. So the Dodgers are the problem here, and it's still a problem with Skuball, just not for the reasons you might think. Ben, your thoughts, your questions, your feelings as I laid all that out there.
Well, there's one thing I want to point out, and then I may save my big question until after the break because I have a feeling that's going to be go in depth, but the Major League Baseball has the luxury tax. The what's the exact? I can't remember what the exact terminology. The competitive balance tax, I believe,
is what they call it. Competitive balance. That's it. CBT.
That cap is $244 million. If you pay more than that, you're paying a tax. Essentially, is how that works. Do you think that Major League Baseball in the next, and maybe that's happening right now in negotiations for the next contract, do you see the penalty, the tax going up? Because the Dodgers don't care about it. Their payroll for that is counted towards the competitive balance tax is already $430 million. They are paying $180 million in tax penalty, which is just their tax penalty, Kwok, is more than 12 teams' payrolls.
Yes.
Including the Angels right there in Los Angeles as well. So, they are paying more in tax, and they're gladly paying more in penalty than 12 different Major League Baseball's roster, their whole payroll. When a team can pay $610 million between tax and payroll, you need to find another name because competitive balance ain't working, friend. Now, I'm just giving you the facts. I'm not necessarily complaining about this. we all wish our franchise would do what the Dodgers are doing. I mean, we all hate it because it ain't us, right? But I do have a question for you after the break. How we look at the Dodgers, do we give them a pass, or should we be more critical of what they're doing?
All right, so I want to get to that. Let me address the competitive balance tax, because you're right. Like, we had a couple texters get in with basically, like, it doesn't matter to them. They ignore it. They don't ignore it. The deferred salaries don't get them away from this tax. They're paying $180 million in tax this year. It's not that it's not affecting them, that they don't have to pay it. They are paying it gladly because they have a pool of money that nobody else has that they can afford to do that. Now, again, they have an ownership group that has a lot of money that they're making elsewhere and bringing it in. It's private equity. They've done a really good job of managing that and hiring good people to manage it. Here's what Major League Baseball should do, and they're never going to do it because it'd be biting the hand that feeds you. That, you know, somebody said we should lock out for 2 years and fix this. We had that text a while ago. Here's what they should do. They should not even worry about a floor and a cap. I think they probably should do that eventually. But if you don't change the structure of the Dodgers media rights deal, then they still have that pool of money. The issue is the pool of money. It's the same as the SEC and the Big Ten. When you have tens of millions of dollars more than everybody else every year, everybody else can compete and you can do well. Like, you can do reasonably well. But at some point, there is going to be a time where you run out of money. And then the other guys that didn't run out of money get to play, and they get to dance, and they get to dabble, and they get to do all these things. Whether it's coaches or players or recruiting or whatever it is, they just have tens of millions of more dollars every single year that they can do something with that you can't do. So, Ben, when you say everybody wants to be able to do what the Dodgers do, yes, but not everybody can do what the Dodgers do, even if the Braves wanted to. Like, the Braves aren't being cheap. I think they're about to go over $260 million. Like, they get one guy in here, over $260 million. That's an investment. They're investing in players. They are paying players. They're doing a good job. You can't. Nobody can do what the Dodgers are doing. That's my point. So Major League Baseball should sue the Dodgers for competitive reasons and get that worked down. Similar structure to what the Braves did on the other end. Remember, and I know we got to go to break here. Remember when the Braves had the awful deal with, I guess it was Fox Sports South or whatever, that horrible local deal that they signed? It was for like 20 years. Remember that? And they were getting pennies on the dollar to everybody else. And they reworked that contract and got the years down, and they got it where now they have at least a reasonably competitive media rights deal with Braves Vision and all that stuff. They're going to end up being in a good spot. On the other end of the spectrum, Major League Baseball should do the same thing with the Dodgers and say, look, this provision was put in place for these circumstances, and it was way too long for competitive reasons, for antitrust. I don't care what legalese you have to use. We got to get this worked down. They'll never do it because the Dodgers are making money hand over fist for baseball. They are achieving for baseball in a large market. They are selling lots of tickets, lots of merchandise. They'll never do it. That is actually a better way out of where we find ourselves than just relying on ceiling and floor, because it still doesn't it doesn't impact the financial reality of the situation. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to get to Ben's question because now I'm fascinated. 654 Roar is the number. Hour two of the program continues right after this.
Upset you missed a show today? No problem. We've got you covered with every hour of every show on our podcast page at theroarfm.com. Touchdown! And on the Roar app. Download it today.
Let me tell you about our friends at Landscaper Supply. When I've been in Italy, there's one thing that I have loved, and that is everything is local, man. Everybody's super passionate about the job that they're doing because it's family businesses, it's local businesses. They know the people in the community. They know other business owners in the community. It's great. That's the kind of spirit that everybody has here. Well, that's the kind of spirit they have at Landscaper Supply. They want to take local brands that have been serving communities for decades and just expand the reach. They want to partner with them, not run them out of town. They're actually doing a really good job with a lot of those brands in the communities. 7 locations across the upstate scattered around so that contractors don't have to lose money wandering to and fro or driving halfway across the universe to try to find their supplier. And Landscaper Supply is everything you need, contractor or just a homeowner looking to do some things in the yard. They've also got a location in Augusta, Georgia. If you want that relationship, that local feel, but you want big box selection and highly capable service and the heavy equipment access to that, Landscaper Supply is your spot. Landscapers-supply.com.
No scripts, no spin,
yeah.
Just the truth. 105.5 and 97.5. The Roar, where every day is game day.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition.
Slowly.
You're talking about, like, the guys making all this money from the TV deal stuff. We're going to see what Braves fans going to think, because with them on the Braves and now that they're not able to get paid by the company, they own the Braves now. We're going to see them start making more money on their deals, and then they can be, people start complaining about them when they start signing players.
Yeah, but here's the thing. It's subject to the revenue sharing. Everybody's media rights deal, when you reach a certain point, it's subject to revenue sharing to try to balance things out. The only franchise who doesn't have to share their media revenue is the Dodgers, and they just so happen to have a deal that dwarfs every other deal in the sport. It is the most inherent disadvantage in a pro sport that any team has ever. I don't care what the pro sport is. I don't even, like, I mean, I've seen some crazy stuff about ownership in the EPL and stuff. There is no pro sports franchise on planet Earth that enjoys more of an inherent built-in advantage to the rules than the Los Angeles Dodgers do. And there are some people who try to tell you that they're just smarter than everybody and all this stuff. Well, yeah, you're smarter than everybody because you can pay to be smarter than everybody. It's easy to be smarter and make great decisions when you have an endless pool of money to spend because of a rule that only applies to you.
And don't forget, with these contracts they signed, don't forget, they defer a lot of money because they defer Shohei Ohtani's contract.
Well, yes. I mean, they now, I will say this.
That's how they sign most autumn players, because it's the first one. Like, I don't know what kind of country Shohei Ohtani got, but they defer a lot of it so they can be able to sign some of your other players, too.
Oh, almost his entire contract is deferred, Delvin. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much. That, you know, it's one of those things. It's kind of like the it's not quite the same as what the Browns did with Deshaun Watson, where, you know, they fully guarantee that contract, and so they have to have every cent in escrow, like, for the entirety of the contract when you guarantee it, and so it sort of broke the rules there. There's some financial wizardry that the Dodgers can do because of how they deferred this, where they actually are penalized less, and they make some money on it, like some interest. I'm not entirely sure what that's all about, and none of y'all probably care about it, but they're gaming the system on that. And apparently Ohtani offered that same deal to everybody. That's the deal that he wanted. But the Dodgers are capable because they're, you know, their private equity owners are filthy rich. Ben, I want to know your question, because you teased it before the break, and now I want to know.
Yeah, you're building this up, and people are going to be disappointed now. All right, let me preface it by saying, this is in no way a LeBron James show of support by me, okay?
Oh, awesome. This is awesome.
But he's the most recent example of what people are saying, and by that I mean some have said, well, he's just a ring chaser. He's going to the place where he feels like he can win. And he's criticized for that. There's a long line of those guys in every sport, right? Again, he just happens to be the most recent example. Why do we say that about athletes but not about franchises? Why do we criticize someone, in his case, taking less money to go somewhere where he hopefully wins another title, but we don't criticize people spending like a drunken sailor to try to win a title? Like, I feel like we have a bit of a double standard here, where we cheapen the accomplishment of the athlete, and we praise the accomplishment of the franchise.
Ben, that is an excellent point. And when you say that, I mean, look, I'm a fan of small market teams. I understand that there are restrictions on small market teams. But you know what you end up doing when you succumb to that mindset is you become like a loyal, content loser. And that's kind of the antithesis of what you're talking about, that you talk yourself into, well, you know, loyalty is the most important thing. So we're going to, you know, we're not going to spend on anything. We're not going to try to win. We're just going to, like, develop some prospects. And, like, if they sign somewhere, oh, well, we'll just develop the next one, and it'll be fine. And we'll make a little money, and we'll just lose a lot. And that's just where we are. And so the aggressiveness of a team like the Dodgers, I think, is great. I mean, look, I've talked about the inherent advantages. The Yankees won three straight World Series from 98 to 2000, but their fatal flaw was that all those contracts aged poorly. I mean, they were signing, like, old guys. I mean, like, who could forget the Jason Giambi, like, 39-year-old Jason Giambi? Still roided up, but, you know, 39, it just looks a little different. That was, like, their 2001, 2002, 2003, and it dramatically dropped because they didn't care about prospects at all. That there's opportunity costs of doing that. And sometimes you go for it and you win, and on the backside it's not fun. That's what Dave Dombrowski does with the Phillies. He left the Red Sox in a mess from a farm system standpoint because he went all in to win a World Series. He understands that the point is not selling hope every year. The point is, at some point, hope has to come to bear. Ask the Braves in the 90s and 2000s. It was great to win a bunch of divisions, but you probably would have liked to have more than one World Series. Ask the Braves in 2021, and then the frustration of not being able to get back. You don't want to just sell hope all the time. It's an easy way to keep your job, but it's not fun. Ben, I think that's an excellent point, that we don't say enough about franchises that are willing to be aggressive. We almost treat them horribly. We're like, how dare you give up all your prospects? How dare you try to win in 2026 and not care about winning in 2031? How dare you?
Yeah, now I will say this. It's not entirely apples to apples, and I certainly understand that. But I think the premise of my argument is sound, in that in how we look at the two. I'm of the camp that your goal is to win, and, you know, sadly, your goal is not to win for every franchise, but your goal is to win, and you do that by any means available to you. That's what the Dodgers are doing.
Absolutely right. No question about it. When we come back, well, I'm going to talk more about this. There's a couple more trades that have been rumored that would be real spicy. Still think the Braves need a starting pitcher. Really worried about it. Final hour of the show is
WCCP-FM 105.5 Clemson. Greenville Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560. Cowpens. 97.5 Spartanburg. We are the Roar. Want to stay up to date with everything the Roar has to offer? Follow us on social media at The Roar FM so you never miss a live show or event. The Roar, where the upstate sounds off.
Hello, listeners. At Insurance for Seniors and Disabled,